All right. Well, we're going to talk about this position here. We've been talking about the local New Testament church, and we've talked about the body of Christ. We've talked about a lot of different, what the church is and everything else. We went through everything. And now we're coming to something that people accuse you of if you hold to local church only position and not a universal invisible church. They like to call you a brighter. Okay? Well, that's not true. And some of you, what, the brighter? Right? What, the brighter? Some of you have no idea what we're talking about. Others that know the secret Masonic doctrine are like, yeah, it did. What, the brighter? Uh-oh. Now we're ready. Anyway. But local church only versus Baptist brighter, who is the bride of Christ? So we're going to talk about that here. And I believe I'm going to show you from the scriptures that I do not. Well, let's pray first. Father, Lord, I pray you bless us. Help us, Lord Jesus, as we go through all of these scriptures, Lord. Help us to study to show ourselves approved unto God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Revelation 21 verse 9 says this, "And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had seven vials full of seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife." Interesting. Well, that's exactly what I want to show you today. I want to show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. Now, this may surprise you, some of you, but we've talked about the local church, the church being the local, visible, called out assembly. We've talked about that. We've looked at the word church in the Bible. We've looked at the body of Christ being a local New Testament church. We've acknowledged that the word church can be used as an institution or in the generic sense of the word. But now it's time that we need to talk about what's in this text. I need to show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. I think there's a lot of misunderstandings. And here's where I have a strong disagreement with Baptist briders. Because I'm going to surprise you, and I'm going to tell you that, number one, I am local church only, but I am not a Baptist brider. And I'm going to show you why I'm not a Baptist brider. And I think it's very plain to see, once we go through this, why the Baptist bride position is wrong. I believe it is fundamentally wrong. I believe that it is a misapplication of Scripture and a misunderstanding. And I'm not a Baptist brider. I do not hold the brider doctrine. Why? Because I don't believe it's consistent with Scripture. Yeah, it is. It's not consistent with Scripture. Much of it isn't. Now, I will show you where we do agree with them on things where they're right on. But in this case, they are not right about this, I believe. I'm sure I'm going to get some flack from some of my brethren on it. I've got some good Baptist brethren that we disagree on this, and that's fine. We can. Baptists have always disagreed. And by the way, Baptists have always disagreed on this. No, not the distinctives, but this we have disagreed upon down through the centuries. Baptists have always disagreed about this in one way or another. So, number one, I want to say that I'm local church only, but I'm not Baptist brider. That's the first point that I need to make. The first point that needs to be is that there is a difference between being local church only and Baptist brider. There is a big difference in that. That may shock some people that have falsely accused me of being this brighter. He's gonna unleash the brighter doctrine. That's what one guy said. You just wait. He's gonna nail it. He's gonna nail the brighter doctrine pretty soon. It's a secret doctrine. You'll see. I've known it for a long time. Why? Because I've joked about it with some people. I was joking among friends that I thought they were friends. Falsely so called. But anyway. But no, I'm not a brighter. And there's a reason for that. I'm in disagreement with the brighter position. I can't be a brighter because after examination, I do not believe the scriptures teach that all the Baptist churches exclusively make up the bride. I don't believe that you can prove that. In fact, I think you can prove the opposite of that very clearly. Okay? I've not seen that in scripture. Upon examination, I've come to another conclusion as to who the bride is. And when the bride is. See, that's the real crux of the situation. Who and when the bride is. That's the problem that we've come to. People have taken all of these things and pushed them together into one thing and said, well, this is the body of Christ. This is the church. This is the bride. Not when you go through scripture line upon line, you come up to a different conclusion that I believe anyway. Personally, that's what I've come up to. Okay, so let's examine the verses dealing with the bride so we can identify who this bride is. We need to examine those verses to know who and when we will see the bride. Come hither, he said, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. So we know the Lamb is Jesus Christ, right? We understand that. We understand Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. But think about this for a second. He says, I will show thee the Lamb, the bride's wife. What are we... Now, first of all, I want you to think about this. What is being taught here? Well, what's being taught here is that we know who is the Lamb of God. What does he do? So this is soteriological, isn't it? This is about the soul, isn't it? When you think of the Lamb of God, you are thinking about the soul of a man, and Jesus Christ coming as that sacrificial lamb and saving souls. That is what the Lamb does. He shed his blood. This is dealing with salvation. The Lamb, the whole bride position is dealing with salvation. It is not dealing with the local New Testament church. And I'm going to prove that to you very simply. It is not dealing with that in any of the scriptures. But a lot of the Baptist bride movement has grabbed onto that and said, see, that's what it is. It's dealing with the church. No, not quite. Not if you read it in its context and what it absolutely says. But remember, I said it's not all the Baptist churches, all the members of the Baptist churches exclusively. I didn't say it wasn't any of those. I said it's not exclusively those. And I believe I can prove that. So we understand the Lamb's wife. We understand the Lamb was pure. The Lamb purified his bride and she is clean and without spot at that point in Revelation. At that point, that is a bride and it is a pure bride. I don't think you could say there's a spotless bride on this earth right now. Yeah. John 3:29 says this, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. John said he was the friend, right? But who is John talking about? Himself. John said he was the friend of the bride. He didn't say that this is a class of people now, that these people that aren't part of local New Testament churches are friend of the bride, but they are not the bride. No, John said he personally was a friend of the bridegroom. He didn't say that everybody else that's not part of a local New Testament church is classified as a friend of the bride. He didn't say that. And that's not what Scripture even teaches there. John was speaking of himself. They asked John about himself. They didn't ask him about a class of people. They asked John about him, who he was. John was identifying his relationship to Jesus Christ. That's what he was identifying. John said he was the friend. The first thing to note is that the bride is not mentioned at all in the epistles to the church or the pastoral epistles. Go through there and look. It's not mentioned. The bride as an entity is not mentioned through those. Now, if that was the church, wouldn't you think that it'd be mentioned through there, that we would have a direct mention of it, and we would talk? It would be talked about a lot. It would be referenced a lot. It would be explained a lot through there. It's not. Why? Because it's a future event. Future. The bride is future. It's not right now. And I'll show you. Hang on. Members of the local New Testament church today are just that. They are members of his body or church members. I do not believe, according to Scripture, they can call themselves the bride. First of all, don't you have to have a wedding before you have a bride? When is the wedding taking place? She's not a bride until she goes to the wedding, right? Right. That hasn't happened yet. You don't have a bride there yet. You have one being prepared, but you don't have a bride yet. How can you call yourself the bride? No, his bride is without spot and wrinkle. Perfected. That's not right now. I don't know unless there's a local church out there that wants to say, hey, we're the bride. Well, they do say that, but they say, we're the bride, and so you're without spot or wrinkle? Put it in its proper context. That's one of the problems. That whole teaching has been ripped out of the context. So that if you're local church only, then you're automatically a brider. No, I'm not. I'm not a brider. I don't think they identify who the or when the bride is, more importantly. Anyway, we'll keep going. You'll catch on in a second. Just give me some time. Revelation 21, verse number 1, please. Turn there. By the way, isn't it interesting to note that a lot of what's talked about in the bride is in Revelation? Why? Prophecy. Future. Not yet happened. Right? I know I'm going to be bursting a lot of people's bubbles that wanted to label me as a brider. I'm sure I'm hurting their feelings quite a bit. They'll have something else to come out against us with, but for this time, they're going to be a little disappointed with this. All right? Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, now pay attention closely, because you're going to learn something here. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Where's the bride? In the city. Now, that's not the only reference. I'm going to give you another one, but this is going to get interesting to you. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. What is the fountain of the water of life? Salvation. It's salvation in Christ. So who's the bride? Who's he describing? He's describing saved people. He's describing saved people. He's saying these have been washed. These have been redeemed. Listen to this. Who are they that overcome? The saved. Listen. Verse number 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God. He shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Wait a minute. What's going on here? Well, who's not going to be part of that? That bride that's in the city. The ungodly, where are they? They're in the lake of fire. They're going to hell. Well, who's he saying are the bride then? The saved. Those that have been redeemed. He's telling you that these are saved people and those are lost people. He's not saying there's a second class of saved people that are going to be friends. Come on, that's not even there. They're making that up. That's not even there. They've taken that out of context. Amen. I know that's hard to take, but I'm telling you, I got to be honest and have integrity with the scriptures. I can't make something up that's not there. And that's why I can't hold to the Baptist bride position extremely. It's enough to be local church only. It's enough to understand the body of Christ is the local New Testament church. And it's enough to understand there is no mystical, invisible body or mystical, invisible, universal church. Why? Because that's all true. But to take it a step further and say, well, you know, you have to be you're not a part of the bride unless you're a member of a local. No. I'm sorry, but that doesn't say that. I don't see that anywhere. I haven't seen it anywhere. He says in verse number 9, and there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither. I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Well, who was that? That was those saved people, as opposed to those lost people that weren't allowed. Because the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars have their part in the lake. Well, who's up there? The saved. Who's the bride? Who's he showing you? The saved. those that have been redeemed, those that have been born again. He didn't say anything about church membership. He says those that are saved, those that are born again. Amen. That's what he said very plainly. I mean, just read the text. That's your first witness right there. All right, so he said, I will show thee the Lamb, the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain. Now watch this. This is going to get interesting because you're going to get a second witness to this in a minute that is exactly the same. And it's going to prove to you, or it should prove to you, who he's talking about. Okay? He says here, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. So a great city came down. Who's in the city? The bride. In the New Jerusalem. Now, I want you to hold your finger there and turn to Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 18. Because you're going to see a second witness to this right here that's going to show you who these people are. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 18. You're going to see something that sounds awful similar to what you just heard a few seconds ago. Right? For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded, and if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye, now here's the contrast, but ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and into an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly, and the church of the firstborn which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Amen. Who are these? Saved men. Is there a church there? Or will there be a church there? Yes. But it's a local, visible assembly of the firstborn. Who are they? Saved children of God in heaven. Redeemed. That is where you have that universal, visible assembly there in heaven. What are they? They are all gathered together. They are then one church and we have one shepherd. Amen? That's right. What's that? No, absolutely not. So you see here what he's talking about. All the saved up in heaven, one assembly. Where do you go when you die, when you're saved, a child of God, and when you're redeemed and you're made perfect? You go to what? What did he say? To the spirits of just men made perfect. That's the perfected saints of God in heaven. That's who it is. That's who the bride is. It's not speaking of an earthly church membership that controls who the bride is. No, it says the saved, the just men made perfect. The bride is all of the saved in heaven. Seems pretty simple. Again, remember that to the general assembly, the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. And he carried me away in the spirit. Then go back to 21, verse number 10. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain. What mountain? The same one he's talking about in Hebrews. Same one. And showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. And by the way, if you go back to Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 24, look what you see here. After that general assembly, it says here, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. What's that? Salvation. Born again. Born again believers washed in the blood. That's right. But they are not the bride here. You see, this is dealing with salvation. There is no entity on this earth called the bride. There isn't. There's one being prepared, but it's the saved, it's the just men made perfect. They will be made perfect one day. It's those that have been born again. They will make up the bride. Men and women, amen, saved. That's right. They will make up the bride. That's how, by the way, that's how you can't tie salvation to church membership. Because there are going to be saved people, there are going to be lost people in Baptist churches that are members here that will not be in that General Assembly there. Amen. Because some of them are lost and they're not born again. So you don't tie, we're not Roman Catholics, we don't tie church membership to salvation. Amen. Because we're not Catholic. Amen. God is preparing a bride here. He is making ready, but there is no entity on this earth called the bride, but it will assemble into one big church one day. Yep. Now, John called himself the friend of the bridegroom, right? Yep. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. Again, it's a call to salvation. Revelation 22, verse number 16. Look at this. Revelation 22, 16, you're going to see the bride. You're going to see the bride talked about there. Future tense, right? I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. He explained who the bride was. Amen. He said, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Speaking of salvation, apart from John talking about the bridegroom and a brief illustration about himself, there is not a single mention of the word bride in any connection until Revelation 18:23. Not there. All saved people do not become a bride until after the marriage. There is no bride of Christ today. There is no place in the Bible where it mentions anything about us now being the bride of Christ on this earth. That is only in some interdenominational theologian's commentary. It is not in the Bible. And there is an issue with this because it is bothering by the fact that fundamental Baptist churches are swallowing up the fallacy that all believers form the church, the body of Christ, and the bride of Christ, none of which is true. It's not accurate at all. The Bible says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife hath made herself ready. No wedding yet. Hasn't taken place yet. And he saith unto me, right blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen. Revelation 19:7 and then verse number 9:8. The marriage supper of the Lamb takes place after, right? The marriage, it is the reception. And it's talked about, we talked about that in Revelation chapter 19, verse number 7. A woman becomes a bride in her marriage and not before that. The word bride is not mentioned in the entire Bible concerning God's people until after the rapture takes place, because we are not his bride until after we are caught up, after we are perfected and made new. All believers are members of his family, but all believers are not members of the church. You must join the church to be a member of a local body. The church is his body, so all believers are not in his body. All believers are not in the church, and all believers are not in his body. When Jesus comes again, all believers will be called out and will assemble in heaven. Amen. All believers, I mean, there's some Baptist writers that believe in a split rapture, like only Baptists are going to be raptured. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. The Bapture. That'd be a good title for a sermon, but I'd catch a lot of heat for that one, wouldn't I? When Jesus comes again, all believers will be called out, will assemble in heaven. All believers will then become members of that church, the church up there, because then we will all be called out assembly. All together assembled. Amen? That called out assembly or church will become his bride. But this does not happen until after he comes for his own. That's right. The bride and the body are never the same in this age, this time. There are people who believe that they are the same. Consequently, they believe that only the church, only the people who belong to a New Testament church are members of the bride, and that everybody else will be wedding guests in heaven. Now, to me, that's kind of like a control issue. Well, if you're not a member of a Baptist church, well, then you listen. You know what? I'm really clear with it. If you don't want to be a member of this church, then don't come. I'm okay with that. I don't have to answer for you. You have to answer for you. You have to answer to God for that. I don't have to answer to God for what you don't want to do. I'm not going to use some control technique? Like the Catholics? Right. There's no salvation outside of the church. Now, I know Baptist writers don't say that, but I'm saying that they do believe that, a lot of them do believe that if you're not a member of a church, then you're not part of the bride. Well, you're not going to be part of the bride. I think that's more like control, to be honest with you. It sounds like to me that you're trying to use something to control people. You know, and there may be various beliefs on that. Okay, I don't want to. I'm not. I have some friends that would lean towards that direction, but you know, I don't know that they believe that, so I don't want to accuse them of that. I'm just saying that there are some. I know there are some that believe in a split rapture and all kinds of things. So anyway, but all people who belong to a New Testament church are simply church members. Amen. That's what they are. Real simple. The word sanctify means to set apart. The local church is not the bride of Christ, but it is set apart to become. Amen? We should be promoting that. We should be preaching the gospel. We should be seeing people saved. And then, but that's not, those two are not the same thing. But saved people in the churches are set apart and will one day make up the bride. But there is no working entity on this earth called the bride. We sing a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. And you know, we sing that, but the church has spots and it has wrinkles. Otherwise, Jesus would not need to keep on washing us, amen, if we didn't have any. But when we are taken up, we'll be a glorious church. Amen? The word glorious, perfection. We will be a glorified church when all the believers are caught up in the air. Our bodies will be changed. We will be like Him and we will be without spot or wrinkle. Then we also will be His bride. We are not yet fit to be His bride until we're perfected and purified. And that doesn't happen on this side. Amen? Your soul is perfect, but you have to drop this flesh and rise, and He has to perfect you and make you new. Right? Just like a bride being prepared for her husband. In the Bible, that was the same. She was purified. There was a purifying. There was a time before that. One day we will assemble together and be that general assembly, the Lamb's wife, the bride of Christ. All the redeemed are saved children of God. Now I want to give you a little bit different, a little more evidence to this, okay? Just some different words that are used by garments and things like that that talk about being purified and being made new. So I want to give you that. Turn to Isaiah chapter 61, verse number 10. By the way, you do know that if you don't get the wedding garment, if you don't have a wedding garment, then you are cast into outer darkness. Now, we don't believe in kingdom exclusion. Oh, I'll explain later. We don't believe in Baptist purgatory or kingdom exclusion. Yeah. Jacob will explain it to you. Isaiah chapter 61, verse number 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. That's the old ball game right there. That's right. Now, right. Who's the bridegroom? And who's the bride? Right? And what are they decked with? They have garments. And who gives the garments? God does. God gives the garments. Yeah, that's right. God's the one that saves you, not yourself. That's right. You don't want to explain that to Jesse Morell and those heretics. They wouldn't be able to handle that. That's too much truth for them. Yeah. But by the way, you need the wedding garment. Without the wedding garment, you can't get in. Turn to Matthew chapter 22, verse number 8. That's why this is not, the wedding garment isn't membership into a local New Testament church. Okay, that's not a wedding garment. It's salvation. Without it, you're cast into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. All right? Matthew chapter 22, verse number 8. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guest, he saw there a man which had not a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. What happened? They didn't have the garment, and they didn't get in. And that, yeah, they're an imposter, counterfeit Christians. They're not saved. They could be church members and be counterfeit Christians. Our churches are full of lost people today. So that's definitely possible, right? We know a lot of people that go to church that aren't saved. We talk to them all the time, right? Some of them are members of Baptist churches, independent fundamental Baptist churches, and they've never been born again by the Spirit of God. They don't have a wedding garment, but they have church membership, but no wedding garment. Right? So they don't get in. Turn to Revelation chapter 3, verse number 4, talking about wedding garments again. Talk about garments. I think this is interesting as well. Revelation 3 and verse number 4. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, who is it that overcometh? The saved. Right? We are more than conquerors. We are overcomers by Christ. Right? He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in what? White raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. What's being discussed here? Salvation. Who wears white? The bride. Who's the bride? The saved. Amen. I think it's pretty simple. There's nothing about church membership there. Yeah, there were members. He said there are some members over there that they're real. They're saved. And they're going to wear white. Amen. Revelation chapter 6, verse number 9, please. Turn there. You're going to see another reference to this. Revelation chapter 6, verse number 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Look at this. And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. White robes, saved, children of God, right? Born again believers. It says nothing about a church membership there. It says they were saved. They were born again. Right? They didn't choose the mark. They wanted Christ. Right, exactly. And white robes were given to them. They were given the wedding garment, white robes. So we're not briders because we disagree with them on who the bride is. And we don't tie it to church membership, but to salvation. Amen. The bride is strictly a context of salvation and the redeemed in heaven. That's the context of who the bride is. I'm telling you, there has to be a caution because it's so easy for people to go overboard and to go another direction because of an error that somebody makes. So then they go all the way to the other side and they end up erring in the process. It's enough to be local church only and be against the universal, invisible, mystical body or church or the body of Christ being all believers and all those other things, because those aren't real. Those aren't true. But to take it to another thing and say, well, only Baptists make up the bride. Well, that's wrong, too. That's not accurate. That's right. It's not accurate. It's just not to say that. I don't believe that's the context that it's given in either. Again, remember, just to recap, Hebrews 12:22, but ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Notice the judge. The judgment seat has taken place, future tense, and the Lamb's wife is in the heavenly Jerusalem. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. We are not writers because we don't agree with them. Where they are right, I agree with them. Their ecclesiology is true in that the Bible does not countenance the universal invisible church, the mystical body of Christ teaching. All references to the body of Christ are in local church epistles. And we agree with them as they reject Protestant influence through pulpit affiliations or through baptism. We must reject them. I don't let Protestants come in here and preach. I don't let Protestants come in as members. You either get baptized Baptist or you don't come in. Why? That's just Bible. Amen. That's just straight Bible right there. That's all that is. Right? That's just straight Bible and authority. That's understanding the truth. But I don't have to be a brighter to hold to that. That's not a brighter doctrine. That's a Bible doctrine. Amen. Right. That's just a straight Bible doctrine. It's very easy to see. We do also agree with principle successionism of the Lord's churches. I agree with that. We do believe that you need to trace. We do not believe that you need to trace your churches, though, back to the apostles. Or you need to be a bride church. That's landmark in. They're pretty much synonymous. I mean, most briders do the same thing. Were you going to say something, brother? Oh, okay. Okay. I don't know if he's raising his hand. He's going to say something. But yeah, I believe me, I know the landmark movement and the brider movement. Yeah, I mean, they're pretty much, one is future tense, one is back, but they're still pretty the same. They're pretty much the same. But anyway, we do believe in a principle successionism of the Lord's churches. Okay? But we do not believe that you need to trace your churches back to the apostles, or you need to have a bride church rebaptize you or reorganize you because you don't have their baptism back from where they can trace it back five churches, but they can't really trace it back any farther than that either. I mean, yeah, exactly. So, yeah. Yep. Right. Yeah, it's hard to get church to church all the way back, but what you do trace them by is their principles. All right. You always trace through the first principles. And there have always been churches since the apostles that held to the first principles. Right. So they held to those first principles, and that's how we know that they were Baptists. That's how we understood that. Yep.
I didn't find anything on it. I didn't put it all together, except I understood the marriage supper of the Lamb was going to be the universal church.
Right.
Right. Such a simple thing. Then the bride.
Exactly. Right. One of the problems is the people that brag about how they rightly divide the word of truth don't. The people that brag about it the most don't. The hyperdispensational Ruckmanites and people, they don't rightly divide it. Right. 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 So, but we do accept principle successionism and understand that's right. We do hold to Baptist baptism, and we do hold to ordination and laying on of hands in the first principles. We hold those things because they're biblical. We do believe that you don't trace Baptists by their name, but by their first principles, and that churches always held to those principles. There never was a time since the apostles that churches that we call Baptists today did not adhere to those first principles. There have always been those churches. Listen to the Baptist Battle for Liberty. Go back and start to listen to those. You will find that I'm tracing those all the way through. And you will see that those principles are there. We are not a brighter church also for another reason, which is an important one too, is we reject the 501c3 yoking with the state that most brighter churches are part of. If you search the country, almost all brighter churches, almost all, not all, but almost all of them, or a great portion of them, are 501c3 churches, or they are corporations, they have an EIN number, and they take, or they're a nonprofit. Okay? Yeah, and we reject that. Well, it's interesting. I know because I had a member here once that was from that Brighter Church, and they said, you know, everything under the local, everything under God, the local New Testament church, and everything is under God, and they have that, and they hold that, the local church authority and everything like that, and under God and everything. But then when they were confronted with that, they rejected it. And most of them do. And most of them have like chaplain ministries and other ministries like that, to where they're close to the military and they're close to the state and they're close to all those things. So they're a part of that already. So they don't want to break from that. They're used to that statism. You know, they're used to, the Brighter Church use that statism. So that's where that's what they hold to. So they're a part of that. And we're not part of that. We don't agree with that. We stand against yoking with the state that most Bride churches are a part of. We reject Brighter churches and corporations and their legal entity status. We're not part of the Baptist Brighter movement. But we don't need to be. We're the local New Testament church. We don't need to be a part of any of those people or any of those groups. We don't have to be. I'm not a part of the Unregistered Baptist Fellowship. I don't go to their meetings. I don't do that. Why? I don't need to be. We don't need to be a part of that. We have our own local New Testament church right here that governs itself according to the scriptures. We don't need to be a part of any of those groups. We don't need to have any of that stuff. It's not necessary. We don't need it. So we don't have it. We are a Baptist church that holds to the historical doctrines found in the scriptures, the first principles that Baptists held through the centuries. We are a local church only. We are a local church only, not universal invisible or universal visible. And we know that one day the saved will be taken up, have the marriage supper of the Lamb, will be part of that bride, the general assembly, the church. But it's important to understand when that is. Who that is and when that is. Who? The saved. When? When they're redeemed and made perfect. Yep. 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 Yeah, which one?
Read Revelation 19:7-9.
Oh, yeah. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. Look at that. Oh, I'm glad you brought that up. I can't believe I left that out. That's right. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Righteousness of saints. What's the righteousness of saints? Fine linen. Right? She's to be arrayed. That she should be, and to her was granted. Uh-oh. That's a gift. For Jesse Morell and all those Charles Finneyite heretics. Right? What is it? It's a gift. It's granted. God hath also granted repentance unto life. It's imputed. Yeah, it's imputed righteousness. Look at that. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Saints doesn't say the righteousness of Baptist church members. It says the righteousness of saints. And he that saith unto me, right, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Amen. So I think it's pretty clear who the bride is. Amen. Or who the bride will be. Amen. I think we understand that now. And that's why we reject the Baptist bride movement. We're not a part of that. We're not a brighter church. You know, no matter how many people out there wanted to try to make me part of that and make us part of that and say, well, that preacher, he's a brighter. He's going to drop that secret doctrine on you. Pretty soon he's going to, we know what he's doing. We know what he's doing, one guy said. He's setting it up. Well, I sincerely hope that after they failed at reading my mind, that the next thing they do is listen to that and understand that's not who we are and stop misrepresenting us. Because that's not what we believe. But we'll make sure we get it online for them tomorrow. The other one will go on first. But tomorrow we'll make sure we get that online for them to understand that, you know, that's not who we are. Amen. But anyway, so it's important to understand that. And yes, we hold the Baptist principles. And yes, we hold to the Baptist distinctives and all those things. But we're not brighters. And you don't have to be. Amen. You don't have to be because it's not a right position. It's the future. So study that out yourself. And see that for yourself, amen? So you can get that truth down, and I believe it'll help you. And it helps understand that now you get to see, now you can explain the difference to people, okay? Between the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, the church, right? All right, you can go through there and you can see the difference and you can explain the difference now. And somebody says, well, what does your church hold to? Well, go through the ecclesiology that Pastor Cooley just taught through. The bride of Christ, the church, the body of Christ. Who are all these? Who are all these entities? Who are they? The family, right? The only thing I haven't touched yet is what, Brother Nate? What's the one left? There you go. That's the last one, the kingdom. That'll be a while. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, you know, going through that, and that'll be, we'll save that one. I don't know when I'm going to tackle that one, because I do need to get into church doctrine with you. I need to start teaching all you young men here to church doctrine so you understand the office of a bishop, the office of a deacon, and we need to talk about deacons and all those things. So we are going to go through that and teach through those things. So I look forward to doing that. And also, I want to preach a sermon because I've never really heard anybody preach this before, and I think it's necessary to. The wife of a bishop. And I want to nail a lot of misconceptions that people treat that like it's an office or something. You know? And I'll give you a hint. I'll give you a hint. You know? What's that? Our co-pastor, that's right. The assistant pastor or something. Right? And I'll make it very, very simple for you. I'll give you a hint as to it. My wife's duties is to be my wife. Okay? The pastor's wife's duty is to be her husband's wife. Amen. That's her duty. All right. Nothing else. You know, and the mother to his children, obviously, but nothing else. And anyway, no, she doesn't preach when I'm sick. She doesn't preach when I'm well either. But also, I mean, but there is a misconception. She's not the go through person for me either. Right. I mean, yeah, I mean, for people to go through or to try to get to me or whatever, you know what I mean? I mean, but we'll talk about that. I want to teach through those things and kind of explain some of those things. She's like a bodyguard to me, though. She definitely is. Amen. But that's another story for another day. But anyway, let's pray. Father, Lord, we pray you'd bless us now. And Lord, we thank you for this church. And we thank you, Lord, that we can learn a lot like we did today and go through a lot of things, Lord. See our faults, see our errors, see what we need to work on. But, Lord, we can love each other through it all, and we can learn good, sound doctrine and walk in it. Help us, Lord, to do that. Thank you for all the visitors and everybody that came today, Lord, and those that are returning. We pray, Father, you would just bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There is one thing I did want to say, too, because some people have asked me that are new here, and it's like kind of awkward. They don't know what to do. We don't pass an offering plate here, okay? So you're probably wondering, some people, well, they have asked, that's why I have to mention it. I don't talk about money here either, but I don't really like to. But that's what that box is up there, okay, in case some of you don't understand. Because some people have asked, like, how do we give money and what do we do? And we don't pass a plate around here, okay, and play music. I used to send my son to look at Lee with, like, you know, really beggar's eyes, you know. We'd rip his clothes up a little bit and have him walk around and make him look like he's... They put some in and they'd put some in and Lucius would look at him like, what? Don't you know how poor pastor's kids are? No, but anyway, no. He used to do the guilt trip because they were like this big, and when they were like little, it's like, oh, isn't that cute? They're taking up the offering. And little kids don't know when to move on, so when you don't put anything in, they're just standing there like... You're like, kid, I don't have anything. It's great. Anyway, it used to work out good like that, but he got bigger and now nobody cares. So it doesn't bother them anymore now if he does that. So anyway, but no, we just quit doing that because I didn't like passing the offering plate around and people watching what people put in there. You know, you need to give to God. You give to God. You put it in there. Nobody else has to see what you're giving. You know, oh, by the way, I have to say this too. I know I said that, but... Please don't write a check out to Old Paths Baptist Church. Okay, we're not a legal entity. All right, please don't write it out to that. You can either write it to me or you can write it to the long name, Jason L. Cooley, pastor/trustee of Old Paths Baptist Church. Either way, it goes the same place. But please don't write it out to Old Paths Baptist Church because we're not a corporation. We're not a legal entity. It just kind of compromises our position a little bit, and it's not, you're not giving money to Old Paths Baptist Church. Right, really, yeah, it's just difficult. We're not a legal entity, so you're not giving money to the church, you're giving money to the Lord. All right, do you understand that? But 501c3 giving shows that you give money to the church. But that's right, but that's not the way it's supposed to be. You're supposed to give money to the Lord, okay? And God puts it in care of the pastor, okay? And to handle, to manage the affairs and everything else like that. So I just want to remind, I know it's uncomfortable, but yep. Yeah, that's right, you can't. Yeah, actually you can. Actually, you actually can write it off on your taxes. I don't talk about it, but the government cannot, if you give money to the Lord, the government cannot, they cannot, yep, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead, brother. Yep.
The IRS code says the First Amendment would be violated if they said, okay, you're a New Testament church, you cannot deduct your givings to that church, but you can
to a state church.
However, the IRS has made it less convenient in that you have to keep your own record. Really, you have to give checks.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I need to review this. The last time I looked, anything less than $250, you keep the checks. You prove and prove where the money went. Now, they may come and audit you. If they do, you're going to have to prove to them, for one thing, that you gave to a church.
Right.
Okay? And
through a church.
They denied you, but we don't help you. We don't.
Right. 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 We can't, or through a church, you know, they don't see it. They don't understand the issue like we do as far as that goes. So, but, you know, it is possible for people to say, well, I gave this money to the Lord, to the Lord's work. And actually, it's not the church. I gave it to the trust or whatever. I gave it to the trust, which is not a legal entity, by the way, but they gave it to the, for charity, and they gave it to the trust. Okay, so there is a way that you can do it, okay, and they cannot violate that, okay, because the IRS cannot tell you that one state church is, your church is not a real church, but that state church is a real church or whatever. So, you know, it's kind of interesting. It's kind of a, yep. Well, there is here. But there isn't in most churches. Most churches are 501c3 churches, and they have the government. They have the EIN number. They have a corporation. Their corporation, and the sovereign of the corporation, is the state. Yeah.
And they make it very clear in the IRS publication that most believers want the government to assure them that they're giving to a church. They want the government to assure them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the church, and they recommend, Pastor, that we go down and register, even though we're not 501c3.
Right, they encourage it.
And you go down, and the church proves to them they're a church.
Right.
You see what I mean?
Yeah, and I have no desire to do that.
With that, you put yourself under. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I don't think the IRS is qualified to tell me what a church is.
Amen.
By the way, if you do that with, if you are a 501c3, if that church is, then they stand in line with the Church of Satan. They are, you know, Planned Parenthood and every other corporation that's out there like that. That's like when I didn't do that here, the pastor of the sending church sent me an email and he was like, well, you don't want to be aligned with people like Greg Dixon at Indianapolis Baptist Temple. I said, well, you don't want to be aligned with people like Planned Parenthood and the Church of Satan, do you? Well, that went well. My chairs? They took the pews. They took the chair. They took everything. Nah, I'm happy. I don't know them a thing. Praise God. Yeah. So, amen. God takes care of his own, though. So, anyway, that's, if you understand, I know some of you don't understand that, but we're going to be, Brother Finney's going to be teaching on this in the future. We're going to be putting together a special class for the men that are in training for the Lord's work and everything like that. And others that want to come too, there other men are welcome to come. But what we're gonna do is put together a class where he's going to actually teach on that like once a month. We're going to come together on one night or something. We'll figure it out when we're going to do it. And we'll come together and he's going to teach through some of these things so you men understand exactly what how things are organized and everything, how things are supposed to be done, and know the issue and understand it, why we stand where we do. All right. Well, praise the Lord. You go ahead and fellowship and if you stay too late, then one of you guys will lock up and I'm going home. So.